It has been said that a picture paints 1,000 words. Each year, billions and billions of dollars are spent on advertising through pictures and billboards in an effort to show the world why a particular product is superior. We've all seen those billboards from the tan, thin bodies advertising tanning lotions and diet plans and workout joints and things like that. We've seen the billboards of people having a great time together because they're drinking a particular brand of alcohol or smoking a particular brand of cigarettes. We've seen the one of the guy on TV whose wife gives him that little wink now that he has those six-pack abs. And then we've seen the ad with the pickup truck. I still can't figure out, folks, why someone in his right mind would drive a pickup truck at a high rate of speed towards a cliff to demonstrate how quickly this pickup truck would stop. I wonder how many stuntmen they went through before they got this stunt right. I don't ever plan on driving a pickup towards a cliff at a high rate of speed, but at any rate, I guess it's supposed to prove something. And who in the world is going to slide that $30,000 or $40,000 luxury sedan sideways down the road after they buy it? Who's going to set up cones in the parking lot to see how the car handles after they buy it? The main concern is making the payments. But just in case you feel the urge to slide it around the corner down there at the Stone Bridge, this car will do it for you. We all know that it's not like they picture it, is it? It's not like that. Reality sets in, especially when the product doesn't produce like the picture shows. And it's the same with our spiritual lives and with religion. Every religion in the world makes its claims like a giant billboard to the world. But the question is, does it produce what it claims? And for the Christian, living up to the claims of Christianity involves obedience. Obedience to Jesus Christ and His commands. And the number one command was to love others. I remember an old song that we used to sing at summer camp. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We pray that God's unity will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The Apostle John knew the importance of not only loving others, but especially the importance of Christians loving Christians. He had sat at the Lord's table when Jesus himself spoke of the love that the disciples were to have for one another. When Jesus said to them on the night of the Last Supper, as he met with them, "A new command I give you, love one another." These are Jesus' words to his disciples. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this," in other words, by the disciples, the believers, the followers of Christ, loving one another, "all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Later on, he talked to them more about this. He said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father and his commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is my command: love each other." So he was saying to his followers, "This is what I want you to do after I leave. I'm getting ready to go away. Just simply love one another, and by the love between you, the whole world will know that you're my followers and disciples." So in his letter to the believers that John was writing here, that we read from this morning in 1 John, first of all, we talked about he advises the believers to obey Christ. We know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. If anyone obeys his word, Christ's word, then God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know that we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him has to walk as Jesus did. In other words, loving others. Now He advises the believers to love each other. He begins by saying, Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command. I'm writing you an old one, which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message that you already have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him, in Christ, and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. He's writing this saying, dear friends. In the King James Version, he calls them brethren. And this is important because this word brethren here identifies specifically who he's talking to. Transliterated from the Greek word adelphos, which means the womb. In the word adelphos is adelphos, meaning the womb. So when we get this word Philadelphia, we get it from the Greek word phileo adelphos. Okay? Adelphos meaning brotherly, phileo meaning love. That's where we get the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia. But he's saying brethren, adelphos, meaning you who are like all that have come from the same womb, like a brother, figuratively or literally. To you, he's writing to you who are related as if you are from one womb. You are all born anew and together as brothers and sisters from one womb. So this is specifically directed toward Christian brothers and sisters. And he says, I'm not writing you a new command, yet I am writing you a new command. You see, the message they had heard was the gospel of Jesus Christ and his command to love. The new command that he was writing was simply a re-emphasizing of that command of Christ to love, because what he could see was the fruit of obedience to Christ's command and the benefits of loving one another. He could see that fruit being produced in these folks that he was writing to, in the way that the darkness was leaving and the light was starting to shine. In other words, this isn't something new, he's saying. You heard it before, but yet it is new in that it has manifested itself or shown itself to be true, because your obedience to Christ is seen in the way that you love each other. In other words, he's saying to them, the light's shining. I can see that this is true. God, who is light, is evident in the way that you live toward each other by loving each other. It's like a great sign or a billboard. It's visible and it's evident that you, brethren, are different than the rest of the world. You see, when Christians love one another unconditionally, what do? They literally reveal the glory and the face of Christ to the whole world like a great big billboard. The world stands back and says, wow, look how they love each other. Look how they treat each other. They're different. I want to be part of that. I want to know about that love. Many times in our lives, we wonder why we feel that God's far away from us. Well, the root of that is lack of love. Not on God's part, but on our part, especially lack of love for other Christians. John says when we live lacking love for the brethren, we live in darkness. We've already read that in God there is no darkness at all. So, how can we live in darkness, lacking love for the brethren, and expect to have fellowship with God? We can't. It's impossible. Remember what John said as he began his letter. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Why? So that you also may have fellowship with us, so that you may participate with us. Okay? And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, he's proclaiming Jesus Christ and the commands of Christ to these that he's writing to, so that not only these people could have fellowship with the brethren, with the other believers, but they all together in love would have fellowship with God, because they'd be loving each other. John explains it this way, and remember, John is still talking about either being in light or being in darkness, as examples of being in fellowship with God or not. He explains it like this. He says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. Whoever claims to be in the light. That light in the Greek there transliterated into English means luminousness or rays, here implying the light of God. And remember, John had already stated, God is light. God, meaning God is truth. God is holy. So this would, he would be saying, anyone who claims to be living in the rays or the light or the holiness of God but hates his brother is still in the darkness, meaning dimness or obscurity. In other words, there's no clear relationship with God when you're living in darkness. So if you hate your Christian brother or sister, John says, you are in darkness and you are not in fellowship with God, because in him there is no darkness at all. What's the consequences of being in darkness? You're going to stumble as a Christian. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. There's nothing in him to make him stumble. That's usually what we do in the darkness, isn't it? We stumble because we cannot determine right from wrong. And my, how we stumble as Christians, don't we? We all stumble. There is no denying that we don't. So what's the remedy? What's the remedy for you and I stumbling along the path that God's laid out before us? Remember, he had talked about this in verses 5 and 6. We claim to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie, we don't live in the truth. But if we sin, if we do sin, if we confess, he's faithful and just, forgive our sins, purify us from unrighteousness. When we choose to love one another, a great light of truth is shed on our lives. He said, we know we've come to know him if we obey his commands. And if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And if we claim to live in him, we have to walk as Jesus did. We choose to love one another, and the great light of truth is shed on our lives. We can see God's will is revealed to us. Now here in verse 10, when he says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, there's four words in the Greek that mean love. But here the word that's used originally was agapeo. That's where we get the word agape from. It means to love in a social or moral sense, but yet it's wider in that it is emphasizing judgment, or I should say, not judging, or a deliberate acceptance of something as a matter of principle, duty, and propriety. In other words, what he's saying here is whoever loves his brother, whoever loves in a way that embraces and does not judge and deliberately accepts because it's our duty and our propriety. Not because we want, but because Jesus commands it. Okay? Jesus commands it. So we must choose not to judge. Choose to be deliberate in accepting other Christians. And he says if we don't, we're going to stumble. If we do, there's nothing to make us stumble. But if we live in that darkness, we're going to stumble. And that word stumble is scandalon. It's where we get the word scandal from. It implies a snare. We're going to be ensnared and fall into sin if we're not walking in the light, not loving one another in the brethren. So he says, anyone who claims to be in the light, anyone who claims to be in God, in the truth, in his holiness, but hates his brother. And that, some people say, oh, hate is such a strong word. Yes, it is, but it's still a word, folks. And it implies a willful dislike. A dislike to the point of an ill will. In other words, you're willing bad. You will that ill feeling, that sick feeling on someone else because you don't like them. Anyone who claims to be in the light and hates his brother has that ill will towards them. you're still in the darkness. But if you love your brother and live in the light of God and His holiness and in His way, there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. Hate is a divider. It divides people from people. It divides people from God. And as Christians, if we hate one another, especially if we hate other Christian brothers and sisters, we are lost in darkness and the truth is not in us. The only way we will see our way back to God is deliberately embracing and accepting one another. This is what Jesus talked about when he said in John chapter 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." It's a sacrificial giving up of self. Giving up of self and deliberately embracing and accepting one another. It means giving up your pride, your hate, your disobedience to Christ. I've had people say an awful lot of unchristian things to me. I've had people do an awful lot of unchristian things to me. But you know, I don't hate them. I pray for them. I love them. Because, first of all, I know they are God's creation, just like I am. Second, I know that Jesus died for them just like He died for me. And third, and most importantly, because Jesus commands that we love one another. Jesus commands that we love one another. And John is telling us here this morning, obey Christ. Love your Christian brothers and sisters. This means forgiving and forgetting. This means remembering that Christ first loved us even though we weren't perfect. I have to remember that even though I want to point a finger at somebody else, there's three pointing back at me that I have faults too. Does it mean agreeing with everything that other believes and the others believe and do? No, it doesn't mean agreeing with everything. We're different people. We're created different for different purposes. But it does mean accepting them, first of all, as God's creation, and most of all, as children of God. People will come to me and say, "Well, what about this person over here? What about that person? They're supposed to be Christian, and look at the way they act." I say to them, "Listen. Don't point a finger. Don't hate them. Don't judge them. In fact, the way we act, the way we all act, is the very reason that Christ died for us. And the fact is, folks, Christians are sometimes jerks, aren't we? But although we don't live up to the picture of a perfect Christian, it doesn't mean that we aren't a Christian. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're on different points on that walk with the Lord towards glory. And He shows us His love in saying, "I see the dirt. I see the stains. I see the blood. But come on, follow me. Look, there's glory up there. Follow me all the way to glory." He says, "What sin? I forgave that when I hung on the cross for you. Continue, follow me and obey me on the path that we're on." Choosing to love each other as Christians paints 1,000 words to the world that we're different, that we are obedient, and that we're in the light and we live in the truth, because God's love is made complete in us by loving those who are hard to love. And after all, isn't that what Christ did? Isn't that what Christ did? He loved those who were hard to love. So shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? If the Christians can't love each other, who would want to be a Christian? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist Reformed preacher in the mid to late 1800s, in his devotional Morning and Evening, writes it like this, referring to Peter, St. Peter. "Peter most earnestly exhorted the scattered saints to love each other with a pure heart fervently," meaning he lifted them up and encouraged them, the saints, the believers, to love each other with a pure heart fervently. And he got his argument, Peter got his argument, not from the law, not from nature, or from philosophy, but Peter got his argument from that high and divine nature which God has planted inside his people. Peter puts it this way, "See that ye love one another because of your noble birth, being born of incorruptible seed, because of your pedigree, being descended from God, the Creator of all things, and because of your immortal destiny, for you shall never pass away, though the glory of the flesh shall fade and even its existence shall cease. See that ye love one another." Spurgeon writes, "Surely the Christian ought to carry himself in all his dealings as one who is not of the multitude," in other words, of the world, "but chosen out of the world, distinguished by sovereign grace, written among the peculiar people, and who therefore cannot grovel in the dust as the others do, nor live after the manner of the world's citizens." As Christians, we are called to be different by loving not only one another, but especially loving other Christians. We put up a giant billboard that says, "We're obedient to Christ. We're obedient to our King. We're obedient to our Master. Come join us. Come join us." And the Apostle John says, "I'm not writing you a new command. I'm re-emphasizing an old one that you've already received and heard. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble." Why do we stumble? Because we're not living in the light. We're not loving one another. We're not forgiving and choosing to be obedient to Christ. It's hard sometimes, but the love of God compels us to be able to love and forgive one another, even though we can disagree. Those of you who say you know Christ and are Christians, obey Christ and love the brethren, and you will never stumble.